Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parish. I'm talking to you from 54th and Broadway, snowy Midtown Manhattan, New York City. Brad Carson back in Memphis in studio producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day. No obstacles, no disruptions.
My daddy lost most everything. On horse, whiskey, and wedding rings.
And I hope that if you were planning, for whatever reason, to attend tonight's Duke North Carolina basketball game inside Cameron Indoor Stadium, that you were able to get tickets at face value a long time ago. Because if you waited to buy them on the secondary market, whoo boy, they are expensive, expensive, expensive. Huge college basketball game tonight. It's the first of two regular season games between number one Duke and number eight North Carolina. Another big stage for Zion Williamson. We're going to talk about that briefly here in the opening segment. But first, let me set this afternoon's schedule. For about 4:15, Joe Mullinax is going to join me. He's the site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He's on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. I'm going to talk Grizzlies with him. We're going to do that in about 15 minutes. When I finish that segment, I'll do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'm going to discuss four previously undiscussed stories, among them Memphis. Back on the court tonight, playing a dreadful Tulane team inside FedEx Forum. We're going to get into that around 4:44. The Tigers, as you know, have an awesome recruiting class on the way, highlighted by a future lottery pick, namely James Wiseman. And I suspect next season is going to go well. But if you want to understand how it might not, I hope you watched Indiana last night. Hoosiers lost at home to Purdue and dropped to 13-13 on the season, even though they enrolled a top 10 freshman class with a future lottery pick. So that does not guarantee success. I'll make some points about that a little later on this hour. Kentucky won again last night, but one of its starters had to leave the game with a knee issue. I'll tell you about that just before 5 o'clock. And the Tennessee Vols got back to their winning ways last night, completed a regular season sweep of Vanderbilt. Next up, a trip to LSU. We'll talk college basketball during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Clark is just like always. Then we will eventually do dinner to go and get out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I wanted to start with the biggest college basketball game of the night and really of the week and possibly of the month. It's number eight North Carolina at number one Duke inside Cameron Indoor Stadium, where the cheapest ticket available earlier today via SeatGeek was listed at $3,600. That's $3,600 for one seat inside Cameron Indoor tonight, and it wasn't even a great seat. Tip is scheduled for 8 o'clock Central. You can watch it on ESPN. President Barack Obama is expected to be in attendance, joining a growing list of famous people who have gone out of their way to see Duke in person this season. In recent weeks, Jay-Z has been courtside for a Duke game. LeBron James has been courtside for a Duke game. Floyd Mayweather has been courtside for a Duke game. And now Barack Obama will be courtside for a Duke game. And it's not just because Duke is really good, because Duke is often really good. I got news for you. This ain't the first time Duke's had a future number one pick or multiple lottery picks or the number one team in the country. The reason that Jay-Z is coming out, LeBron James is coming out, Floyd Mayweather's coming out, now Barack Obama's coming out, is because Duke has the most talented freshman class in the history of college basketball, one led by Zion Williamson, who is arguably the best basketball prospect to play in college since Anthony Davis 7 years ago. He's averaging 22.4 points, 9.2 rebounds, 2.3 assists, 2.3 steals, 1.9 blocks in 29.2 minutes per game, shooting 68.3% from the field and attempting 6.6 free throws per game. So he's getting to the line often. His player efficiency rating, we always talk about these as it relates to NBA players, PERs. Zion's player efficiency rating is 43.01, which is 5.21 points better than anybody else in college basketball. He's in first by himself by a significant margin, and his 43.01 PER, it's 9.13 points better than James Harden's NBA best, 30.88 PER. 6'7 athlete, 290 pounds, 45-inch vertical. Just, it is hyperbolic to say we've never seen a better basketball prospect at this age because we've seen LeBron James at this age. But it is not hyperbole to say we've never seen a basketball player do the things Zion Williamson does at his height and at his weight. World-class athlete despite being a super heavy human. It really is insane. And I don't know if you saw this news story from GQ, more of a Q&A, but they asked Zion, when did you realize you were an extremely large human? Because I don't know how well it comes across on television, but when you see him in person, and I've stood next to him and talked to him, I've stood next to him and just watched him work out. You know, I've sat courtside at both Cameron Indoor this season and out in Maui in November and seen him up close, you know, with literally within inches of me. And he's just massive, thick. Like, he almost looks like Incredible Hulk. Like somebody's blown him up. I do think actually heavy, too heavy too, because he will not look this way in 2 years. I think an NBA team's going to cut him down.
Yeah.
But the point is, so GQ asked him, when did you realize you're a big, unusually large human? And he said probably his junior year of high school, because, and I didn't realize this. When I knew that he had had a growth spurt in the sense that he had gotten taller pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. He played point guard most of his life, which is why he can do a lot of the things with the ball at his size that people his size can't do. Mm-hmm. Because for most of his life, he has handled the ball and played that position. He said that when he was a freshman in high school, he was like 6'3", 165 pounds.
Mm.
By his junior year, he was 6'7", 285 pounds.
Oh, man.
He gained 100 pounds, basically, in 2 years and became an even better athlete. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
Like, most of us have never gained 100 pounds in a short amount of time. That's not a normal thing. But if it were to happen to you, if you weigh 165 and then weigh 265, mm-hmm. or if you weigh 140 and then weigh 240, you are going to be, to the extent that you are an athlete at all, and you're probably not if you're putting on that kind of weight. Again, Zion's a freak of nature.
Right.
But you're not going to be able to move the same way.
No.
Like, if you're a basketball player or a soccer player, a baseball player, football player, anything, whatever you can do at 150 pounds, you're not going to be able to do at 250 pounds. But Zion is, again, freak of nature. He gained 100 pounds in 2 years and never stopped putting his chin on the rim. Never lost a 45-inch vertical. Again, it's probably accurate to say we have never seen somebody his height and his weight move and jump the way he moves and jumps. And he's the reason why Duke is the biggest show in college basketball. And possibly, and we could debate this, but possibly all of basketball at this moment. Duke is the biggest brand in the sport. Duke has the GOAT coach. Duke is ranked number one. But most importantly, from a television ratings perspective and a ticket sales perspective, Duke has Zion Williamson. He's the draw. Evidence being that Duke's TV ratings are up and Duke tickets on the secondary market are crazy, both home and away. Vivid Tickets said earlier this week that sales traffic for Duke games on its site up 82% this season, and that Duke ticket prices are up 178%. People didn't just decide this season they want to start watching Duke. They decided they want to watch Duke with Zion. Again, cheapest ticket available for tonight's game, earlier today when I checked, at SeatGeek was $3,600 for an upper-level seat at Cameron Indoor. Now, some of this is because of, building size.
Right, Cameron, low student section, taking a lot of seats and that sort of thing.
Cameron only holds like 9,000 people.
Yeah.
I think it's like 9,300-something. It's a small, compact building. So some of this is that. You've seen probably people on Twitter saying that tickets for tonight's Duke-North Carolina game per seat are going for more on average on the secondary market than Super Bowl tickets went for.
Mm-hmm.
And that is technically true, but you know the Super Bowl's played in a 65, 75, 80,000 seat stadium as opposed to this basketball game being in a 9,000 seat building.
Right.
So some of it is simply capacity size. But a lot of it is Zion Williamson, because Duke's been playing in this building forever and ticket prices are at an all-time high. Again, Vivid saying that Duke ticket prices are up 178% this season. When you combine home games and road games, that means people are flocking to Durham to see Zion, and anywhere Zion goes, Tallahassee to play Florida State, Pitt to play Pittsburgh to play Pitt, Clemson to play Clemson. Anywhere he goes, the tickets spike. A ticket for tonight's game on StubHub, I believe, one seat sold for more than $10,000.
Wow.
And it's why, when we talked about the Grizzlies lottery odds yesterday, it was exciting to daydream just a little bit. And that's all we were doing. But I've made this analogy before, or told this story before. I don't go out of my way to buy lottery tickets, but if I'm in a store and I've got cash and I happen to, in the $280 million is staring me in the face, and I remember, I might sometimes go, hey, give me three of those Powerball tickets. Not because I think I'm going to win. I understand numbers. You could buy lottery tickets every day of your life. You're unlikely to ever cash a significant ticket. But I then find myself driving home and daydreaming a little bit. I know this ain't going to happen, but man, what if I really cash for $280 million? And you think about all the things you think you would do with $280 million, right?
Yeah.
And from my perspective, what I just did, let's say I bought three tickets for $6 or whatever it is. For $6, I just bought 20 minutes of daydreaming. That was kind of fun. That's what that $6 did for me. Mm-hmm. It allowed me for a brief period of time, until I actually check the numbers and then throw the ticket away, a brief period of time to daydream about, man, it's not likely, but it is technically possible. And wouldn't that be something? Zion Williamson is like a $500 million Powerball with jackpot. The Grizzlies may or may not convey their pick. We'll see. But on lottery night, they're going to have a chance, a small chance, but a chance, to maybe get the number one pick. And though that's been true in other years, in most years you don't have the opportunity to take somebody who will flip your franchise overnight. LeBron James was 2003, somebody who you knew was going to flip a franchise overnight. And I don't know that there's been a guy like that since him. Because it's not just about what Zion will be or won't be as a basketball player. It's what Zion represents. He's already one of the most famous, well-known, one-name basketball stars on the planet. We talked about it yesterday. For 7 years, the Grizzlies were good, going to the playoffs every year. TNT didn't care. ESPN didn't care. They'll care about Zion. You can't get a good Grizzlies team with Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, Tony Allen on national television. You can get a bad Grizzlies team with Zion Williamson on national television. It changes everything about the franchise. And I know some of the franchises, the current state of things, it's rooted in bad decisions and maybe bad luck. There's not a whole lot of good luck there. But if they could have that good luck, it would change the franchise overnight and really go a long way to flipping everything. Because right now, the future is not bright. even if you can see a way out of this, it's a multiple year thing, as in multiple draft pick thing, as opposed to, hey, we're already on the right path. But getting lucky on lottery night and being able to select the guy you're going to watch on national television tonight, that's the type of thing that flips everything about your franchise. It re-energizes the franchise. It re-engages the fan base. It makes you relevant on a national level. And so while acknowledging that it is highly unlikely it will happen, I do think it's a little bit like having a lottery ticket in your back pocket, carrying it around until those numbers pop, you know, on Wednesday night or Saturday night or whenever they do. You can daydream a little bit. And so while you're watching Duke Carolina tonight, 8 o'clock on ESPN, let yourself daydream a little bit. It's not against the law. Joe Mullinex up next.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades. This lifestyle's forever when you made. They tweet about the length I made them wait. What the you expect when it got a cape and he's great?
Tigers are back inside FedEx Forum tonight playing a terrible Tulane team. Tips a little after 6 o'clock Central. You'll be able to watch it on ESPNU. I'll get you ready for it in the next segment. Then Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, Joe Mullinex, the site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He's on Twitter, at Joe Mullinex, making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So I saw on Twitter that you got a snow day in Virginia today, so you're out of school. Congratulations on being able to spend a snow day with the kids.
Absolutely. It's always nice, you know, and as a coach, you know, spring sports are starting up, and you want the weather to get warmer. You can go outside, do some more stuff in terms of, you know, training for the upcoming football season. But it is nice to spend a day with the kids at home, like you said. And then, you know, it's nice. It is good. They get a little bit bored. They get bored with me after a while. I think they miss school. So, but it is nice to be able to spend some time with them for sure.
I am also dealing with snow here in New York City. It unfortunately didn't allow me to not work. It's just forced me to walk about a mile to the CBS Broadcast Center earlier today to do a CBS Sports HQ hit in the snow. So I've just been walking around in snow in Midtown Manhattan. That's my day so far today.
Not nearly as enjoyable as my situation, but you are in a different spot professionally as well, so I guess I'll take the snow day and you can take the opportunity to be on national television. It's an equal trade.
Yeah, I shouldn't complain. Every time I start to complain about anything I have to do, I recognize I shouldn't complain. Even if I'm busier than I'd like to be sometimes, if not all the time, I'm more fortunate than most. So thanks for reminding me of that. Let's talk Grizzlies. You got a piece up right now at Grizzly Bear Blues blog about sort of the rest of this season, and you described it on Twitter this way. As the race to convey resumes, the Grizzlies will rely on two tried and true realities to help them achieve their goal without the time to establish team chemistry or culture. Memphis is the land of opportunity, and NBA survival depends on seizing it. I read the piece earlier today, and I would encourage everybody to go read it because it is a long and thorough, almost player-by-player breakdown of what's at stake for the team and for the individual players as this season progresses. And among the points you make is that this season obviously has not gone as planned, but there is still motivation on different fronts, both from a team perspective and an individual perspective, for the Grizzlies to still show up and compete every night. From a team perspective, organization perspective, they want to move this pick to Boston. They have publicly stated that. The only way to do that is to start winning, stop losing. From a coach perspective, you got a guy who's coaching for his job. And I'm not sure he can save it at this point, but I bet you deep down somewhere he thinks he might can. So he's got real motivation to go out and try to put a compelling product on the floor. And then there are certain individuals who are – either fighting for their careers or in contract years or, you know, dealing with options, either player options or team options, they've got real motivation to go out and perform. So there is some interesting storylines as this otherwise dismal season comes to a close, right?
Definitely. And as you mentioned, the public statement of conveying the pick, you know, lots of us kind of said from the beginning of the season that we'd be happy with the campaign if they conveyed that pick this year. And it's kind of even itself out after the hot start that now remains the goal. But you mentioned J.B. Bickerstaff there, and whether it's him or the players in general, it's important to remember, and it kind of feels like stating the obvious, but there's 29 other teams in the NBA. So let's say you're right, and I think you are, and J.B. Bickerstaff is essentially a lame duck, because my belief is they're going to restructure the front office, they'll want their own coach if they bring in somebody new, that sort of thing. Even if it's somebody within the organization taking over, I'm guessing they're going to want a fresh start, especially if they are successful in conveying this pick, and it makes sense to hit the reset button this summer. So J.B. Bickerstaff is coaching to show that he is still a competent NBA coach, and maybe he winds up on a staff of a contender, Philadelphia, Boston, the Lakers, in theory, if LeBron ever gets suitable help. One of those types of teams, maybe he goes to a bigger market, a team that's more likely to win. He rebuilds himself maybe 3 or 4 years from now. He gets another shot at being a head coach. He's trying to show that he's still able to do that, and the defenses that he's had a hand in developing are still competent, because obviously the biggest thing that has slipped has been the Grizzlies' defense. All offseason, all they talked about was how defense is going to be their calling card, where they hung their hat, and the hat has been boned and thrown away. The ashes no longer exist. It's just a really bad defense right now. If he can kind of help them reset on that front and get them back to playing suitable defense, that'll be a success. As far as the players of the piece, and I appreciate the shout-out over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com, I outline a bunch of different guys, like you mentioned. You know, Jonas Valanciunas has a lot of incentive here. He probably wants to take advantage of some of the money that's going to be out there in free agency. Maybe he opts in, maybe he opts out. I think it's more likely he opts out at this stage. Doesn't necessarily mean that the Grizzlies don't bring him back, because his strengths as a rim runner, as a rebounder, he's kind of the yin to Jaren Jackson Jr.'s yang right now. If you see Jaren as a long-term center, then maybe it doesn't make a ton of sense to bring Valanciunas back. But if you like him as a four, it makes some logical sense to try to help Jaren on that front as he develops his body physically for the NBA. I talk about DeLon Wright and his ability to, as a restricted free agent, to try to make as much money as he can. He's unique in that he's going to be 27 years old, so he's going into the money-making contract, and he's already in his prime, you know, almost close to the end of it, depending on what you define an NBA prime as. So he needs to try to make as much money as possible. You know, guys like Joakim Noah are trying to just stay in the league. There was a run there where he was out of the league after getting bought out by the Knicks. So I talk about a variety of different players there, whether it's player options, whether it's the Avery Bradley opt-in. You know, there's a lot of guys that have incentive to play well, and Memphis is the land of opportunity. I talk about in the piece, Tony Allen, Zach Randolph are probably the two best examples of guys who come in with a bit of baggage, and they become franchise cornerstones and icons that are beloved by generations of Memphians at this point. So there's definitely a history of players being able to come in from other places and making the most of the opportunities they get with the Grizzlies. This might be a condensed version of that. I don't necessarily see a Zach or a Tony in the bunch that's currently with the Grizzlies in Memphis, but that doesn't change the fact that they all should be hungry to be successful, because they all have different, albeit selfish, reasons to try to get to the ultimate team goal, which is to convey that pick, as you mentioned earlier.
Talking to Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. He's the host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He's on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. How do you think the Avery Bradley situation unfolds?
I think that he gets opted out. I don't necessarily see how they can keep him. He's not going to be that player. I think we talked about this last week against the Spurs that scores 30-plus points. He might get a couple more 20-point games just because his usage is going to be so high, especially if Kyle Anderson is done for the foreseeable future. Obviously, Dylan Brooks is already out. I don't see them opting into him. That's a big chunk of change. Obviously, to go from $13 million to $2 million in terms of cap hit, is valuable to the Grizzlies, depending on how they're able to swing the contract trade-wise. I've seen Chris Harrington talk about this, and I talk about it in my piece as well. And that could be a valuable trade chip, whether it's as an expiring contract after opting in, or even before, if you're able to swing it maybe during the draft or something along those lines. So I see him, again, he wants that money. I don't think Avery Bradley's ever going to sign another contract where he makes almost $13 million in a season. So he's going to do his very best to prove that he is worthy of that type of cash. But I don't necessarily think he fits into the long-term vision of what the Grizzlies are trying to do. They should be trying to get younger. They should be trying to, you know, for lack of a better word, be bad if they convey that pick and the 2020 pick is theirs. They're not interested necessarily in competing at a high level. Avery Bradley, of course, not like he's the beacon of dominance when it comes to NBA wings, but he is a competent NBA wing who has shown the capacity to defend and convert three-point shots, play off the dribble, pull up jumpers, all the things that we saw against the Spurs. He has that capacity. Is that valuable to a contending team? Possibly. Is his contract valuable in terms of being an expiring one, even if you opt in? Yes. And again, Memphis has several of those types of guys. C.J. Miles is an example. Once he almost certainly opts into his player adoption deal, he's going to be an expiring piece. So Memphis will have some options. Valanciunas is the same way if he opts in. They have a lot more flexibility than they did before. So I'll give them credit for that in terms of if they want to move on from guys, it shouldn't be overly difficult. If they want to hold on to players and see what they can do, it really does kind of fall in line with the uncertainty that comes with the possibility of conveying this pick this year. So in a long-winded way, I don't think they opt into Avery. It just doesn't make a ton of sense long-term. But I've seen them do crazier things.
Talking to Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. Do you have a conviction one way or another on what the Grizzlies should do this offseason with Mike Conley and his contract?
I think it is connected to conveying the pick, to be honest with you. And we were talking about this in our GrizzlyBearBlues.com Slack channel this week. If they don't convey the pick this year, if the pick winds up, you know, within the top eight, they take a DeAndre Hunter, one of those types of players. It's unlikely they go into the top three. Possible. I know you were talking about that with Jeff, or I heard Jeff Calkins talking about that the other day. It's a possibility, but at the same time, it's still obviously very unlikely. So say you get a DeAndre Hunter, somebody like that, and you are going into next year still trying to convey the pick. Mike Conley's contract gets a lot friendlier after next season in terms of value to a team, partial team option. I would have to double check to see the exact way that last year is structured. But it is a lot more attractive to move in 2020 and then obviously in the summer coming up of 2019 than it is or was at the trade deadline. So I don't necessarily think you have to trade him, in my opinion, at least not right away. I think it allows for them to continue to have some flexibility. Mike obviously wants to be in Memphis. He made that pretty clear through the process here. And maybe the relationship has been damaged. But at the same time, if they do hit the reset button in the organization with the front office, and maybe they sit down with Mike and they give him a vision of what's to come and what their plan is. Maybe he wants to be a part of that rebuild. The guy who hands the torch off to Jaren and rides off into the sunset. Or maybe, you know, moves on to another team or agrees to take on less money. You know, there's lots of different ways this can go. If you're not getting a first-round pick and a young player, it doesn't have to be an all-star or anybody like that. If you're not getting some combo of that, I don't think it's worth trading Mike Conley because of what he means to the organization in terms of how he can be a mentor to these guys. That takes a lot of value, or that has a lot of value, with what Memphis needs if they're going to get younger. So I don't have a conviction saying they need to trade him. I don't think it's gotten that toxic yet. Obviously, that can change between now and June and July. There's still some basketball to be played and some actions to be made in the front office and in the organization as a whole. But I don't think you necessarily need to. If you do indeed convey the pick, I think that is the perfect opportunity, top to bottom, to, like I've said before, hit the reset button. Just go nuclear option, move every veteran that you can. Conley should be one of those options, and you go into 2020 planning on being really, really bad, and you go out in front of the people, your fans, and you say, here's our plan, much like Heisley did years ago, and you say, this is what we're going to do. We have a plan. this is what we're trying to build around Jaren. And I think that Memphis fans are smart enough to accept that, understanding that the era that just ended was a good one, but you kind of have to go back down to be able to be built back up.
I'm wrapping up here with Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He's on Twitter, at Joe Mullinex. Last thing before I let you go, and as always, I appreciate your time. You mentioned that the Grizzlies could theoretically jump into the top three, maybe even win the lottery, but it's interesting. You know, it's called the lottery for a reason, much like the actual Powerball lottery, for instance, that we are all aware of. I don't care how many lottery tickets you buy, you are way unlikely to ever cash anything of significance. And yet millions of people buy the tickets, you know, multiple times a week.
Sure.
Just because it gives them an opportunity to daydream a little bit about, man, what if? Like, I know this probably isn't going to happen, almost certainly isn't going to happen, but, woo boy, if I had $200 million, think of all the things I would do. Like, I don't go out of my way to buy a lottery ticket. I'm not the guy who says, well, today's Wednesday, so on my way home from the station, I'm going to pop into a gas station to, you know, spend 10 minutes getting a lottery ticket. But if I happen to be in a convenience store and there happen to be lottery tickets available and it's a big, big number and I remember and I have cash, I might buy a lottery ticket just because it really does, for a couple of bucks, allow you to daydream in a way that can sometimes be enjoyable. And I do think the Zion Williamson draft is a little bit like that, which is how Jeff and I got down the path we got down yesterday, because if you won the lottery last year, like, you were going to be excited to get DeAndre Ayton or Luka Doncic or Jaren Jackson or whomever, but I don't know that anybody really thought winning that lottery could change your franchise overnight in a drastic way. And yet with Zion, if you are the franchise that lucks into that, and it would be you lucking into it regardless of who you are, there will be teams that are more likely than others to get the number one pick, but nobody's likely to get the number one pick. You'd always take the field against anybody with the way that it's structured. But he really, you take the Grizzlies, and you and I have talked about this, in terms of going forward, they might have the bleakest short-term future of any franchise in the NBA, because they don't have great young players outside of Jaren Jackson Jr. They still have to convey a pick to Boston at some point. The franchise is in a bad place right now, and yet you get lucky and win the lottery, and it really does flip everything. You got suddenly in Memphis one of the most recognizable, famous, one-name basketball stars on the planet. You're on TNT and ESPN more often than you've ever been, because television executives already know Zion is a needle mover. There's a demand for tickets unlike there's probably ever been, because look at the ticket prices for Cameron Indoor tonight and everywhere Zion has played. Duke ticket prices this year are up, I believe I saw, like 187%. Over last season. And it's not because they got Mike Krzyzewski, because they've always had him. It ain't because it's Duke, because Duke is always Duke. It's not because they're great, because Duke is usually great. It's because of Zion Williamson. And I do find it somewhat enjoyable, if unrealistic, to daydream a little bit about how much he could change the franchise just by, you know, some ping pong balls bouncing the right way one day.
Sure. And I think it's fun to daydream as you go through that process. Think about, if you want to talk about a modern NBA center, if you draft Zion Williamson, then Jaren can easily slide to the five, and now you've got a 3-4 kind of combo player in Zion, who, that's your front court for the next 10-plus years. That's something to be excited about if you're a Grizzlies fan. And you're exactly right about the marketability and all of that stuff. Memphis hasn't really had that. They could have had that, not to open up old wounds, the beat draft, where, you know, James Harden and Steph Curry, two players who are very marketable moving forward now, they could have been in Memphis, so that was possible then. And now, if you get that chance, of course, that would be wonderful. And I think that he instantly makes Memphis that much more interesting. He's a remarkable athlete. He is a giant human, and he is able to do things in terms of his strength and explosiveness that we haven't seen in a long time, possibly ever. And all the accolades and attention that he's getting, I do think, is warranted. I just don't want, like you said, It's extremely unlikely. It's more likely elsewhere. It's not likely, period, for anyone. But I do think that for the long-term health of the Grizzlies, the smart play, and I'm not saying you're not saying this, the long-term play is to try to convey that pick.
Sure.
Because once you get past Zion, and then depending how you feel about the other couple of top guys in this draft, I mentioned DeAndre Hunter earlier. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of UVA games. I'm in ACC country, so I watch a lot of the ACC. I think DeAndre Hunter is going to be a darn good basketball player. I think he can defend just about any position. I think he can shoot the lights out if given the opportunity. He is a very good guy to have on your roster, but no one's going to get excited about DeAndre Hunter if he comes to Memphis. Zion Williamson would be that guy. It's kind of like Kyler Murray in the NFL. If you draft Kyler Murray, instantly there's energy, instantly there's excitement that comes with drafting someone who has that physical capacity and is the athlete that Kyler Murray is. Same thing here with Zion, perhaps on even a larger scale. If you do indeed win the lottery, you know, I think a lot of folks, well, not a lot of folks, but there was definitely a large contingent that would have been that excited if they had gotten Luka Doncic. Obviously not everybody felt that way, but it's definitely more unanimous when it comes to Zion. It's a Zion and then everybody else, and that would be very welcome in an organization where there is a lack of energy, largely due to their own incompetence, is strong to say, but whether it's bad luck or whether it's a poor move down the road, there's not a ton to be excited about with the Grizzlies right now. It would definitely be a shot in the arm for sure.
That is Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com, host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. He's on Twitter. Make sure you follow him. You'll be smarter about the Grizzlies. At Joe Mullinex. That's at Joe Mullinex. As always, thank you for your time. Terrific. And I will talk to you again next Wednesday.
Thank you, GP. Looking forward to it.
All right, buddy. That's Joe Mullinex from SB Nation's GrizzlyBearBlues.com. When we come back, the University of Memphis men's basketball program is going to play a game tonight inside FedEx Forum. The opponent is the Tulane Green Wave, and they are terrible, terrible, terrible. We'll talk about that, get you ready for that right after this break.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It feels so good, it should cost. Brought an alligator, I ain't talking Lacoste. Made me say, like a mix of Master P and Rick Ross.
Cooper Systems over in the Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com. That phone number is 360-9679, 360-9679. Next time you need a computer, whether it's a high-end, low-end, middle-of-the-road, desktop, notebook, tablet, whatever you need, PC or a Mac product, call 360-9679, talk to Lee and Lauren Cooper. Tell them what it is you're going to be doing on a computer, because like, if you're going to be making music videos, you might need a pretty expensive computer. But if you're just stalking your ex on Facebook and watching YouTube videos, messing around on Twitter, you don't need to go spend $1,000 on a computer. Because when you do that at one of those big box stores, you're going to be paying for a bunch of stuff that you're never going to use, that you're probably not even going to know you have. So why would you do that? It's actually a waste of money. You go to Cooper Systems, you tell them what you're going to need a computer for, they'll be able to get a computer that's better suited for you. That means it's better priced for you. You're paying for what you're going to use. You're not paying for anything in addition to that. 360-9679, 360-9679. That's Cooper Systems, Mount Moriah Office Park, on the web, coopersystems.com. Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. We'll ask him about the story. Should Main Street, M-A-I-N, be changed to Main Street, M-A-N-E, in downtown Memphis? I think so. I think I can get on board with that. Ask Jeff Calkins if he can get on board with that. But right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
University of Memphis men's basketball team back inside FedEx Forum tonight. Tip is a little after 6 o'clock, and you'll be able to watch it on ESPNU. The opponent is the Tulane Green Wave, and the Tulane Green Wave are terrible. 4-20 overall, 0-12 in the American. They've lost 14 consecutive games. They're ranked 304th at KenPom, 300 in the net rankings. So check this out. If you take the top seven leagues in America, and that is the Power Five leagues, plus the Big East and the American, and you put them all together, the worst team in the all of that is the team that's playing Memphis tonight inside FedEx Forum. Indeed. Tigers are 17.5-point favorites. The total is 157.5. So if you are Penny Hardaway and you want to get back to your winning ways, there's really this is the best way to do it. Put on your Memphis State uniforms, which is what they're going to wear tonight, and then have Tulane show up to play you in a 40-minute regulation basketball game because they can't beat anybody. They shouldn't be able to beat you in your home building.
Story number two.
So there's an interesting college basketball story developing in Bloomington, Indiana, that I do think I could tie back to Memphis as a cautionary tale because, you know, everybody understood year one of the Penny Hardaway era was just going to be like, it is what it is, but the goal was to sign a heralded recruiting class led by a local five-star phenom, enroll that class, and then get really good. Like, that's the plan. And I do think it's a sensible plan, and it's a plan that they're likely to execute well. But there is no guarantee that when you do those things, that you're going to be successful the way you imagine. And what's happening at Indiana right now is a reminder of that. Indiana lost last night at home to Purdue. They're now 13-13 overall, 4-11 in the Big Ten. This is a team that started 12-2, that right now owns wins over three top 20 teams, Marquette, Louisville, and Michigan State, and yet they're 13-13 overall, 4-11 in the Big Ten in what is Archie Miller's second season. Much like Penny Hardaway, Archie inherited a situation in Indiana that wasn't great. And so last season wasn't great. It was not terribly unlike this Memphis season that we're watching unfold right now. But he, like Penny Hardaway, went out and signed a top 10, top 15 recruiting class, highlighted by a local five-star consensus top 10 prospect, future lottery pick, Romeo Langford, much like Penny Hardaway, went out and got in the class of 2019, highlighted by James Wiseman. And it's just not going well. You know, what Indiana fans thought this time last year is exactly what Memphis fans are thinking right now. Okay, we've got the coach we want. Year one is what it is. But in year two, we're going to enroll a top 10 recruiting class highlighted by a local five-star one-and-done lottery pick, bring back A, B, and C, and now we're going to be ready to go. And it hasn't worked. And so I'm not predicting that for Memphis. The truth is you're less likely to get exposed in the American than you are in the Big Ten. But if you want to just have a reminder that, a top 10 recruiting class with a likely one-and-done lottery pick does not guarantee you're actually going to be great at college basketball, look no further than Indiana, because Indiana is not great at college basketball.
Story number three.
Kentucky won again last night, 66-58 at Missouri. And so the Wildcats, that's John Calipari's Wildcats, moved to 22-4, 11-2. But they also lost at least a player, at least temporarily. Reed Travis, who is an important front court player for them, had to leave the game. Initially diagnosed with a right knee strain. Getting an MRI today, but John talked about him a little bit last night, like they are expecting him to miss games, whether that's 2 or 8. Is unclear, but they're probably not going to have him at least, this weekend and maybe into next week. And I don't think this is the type of thing that's going to cost this team any of the big picture stuff that it's trying to accomplish. Like, Kentucky either will go to a Final Four or won't go to a Final Four for a variety of reasons. It'll have nothing to do with what happened last night at Missouri, I don't believe. Kentucky either will win a national championship or not win a national championship for a variety of reasons. I don't think it'll have anything to do with what happened last night. But it could cost them an SEC title. Right now, they're They are 11-2 in the league, with Tennessee being 12-1 and LSU being 11-1. So it's a tight race between those three schools, and Kentucky still has a chance to at least share a part of the SEC regular season title. In fact, KenPom projects it to finish as a three-way tie between Tennessee, LSU, and Kentucky, all of which it projects projects those teams to finish with 15-3 records. But what if losing Reed Travis, even temporarily, cost you, like, really just one game? It could be the difference between having an SEC championship and not having an SEC championship. So not an insignificant development last night in Columbia, Missouri. But the good thing about Kentucky is that when you lose a front court player, you've got a five-star front court player on the bench. And so you just insert that guy into starting lineup, and perhaps you don't even miss a beat.
Story number four.
Tennessee got back to its winning ways last night, beat Vanderbilt in Knoxville 58-46. And it was interesting. We were talking about this on Inside College Basketball last night on CBS Sports Network about how one game has changed the entire perception of Tennessee, seemingly with all or most, maybe just some, college basketball fans. Because this time last week, nobody was really questioning Tennessee. They were, 23-1, 11-0 in the SEC, had 20 double-digit victories, was winning league games by an average of 16.6 points. Maybe somebody would bring up the fact that they hadn't played a ranked team since they played Gonzaga more than 2 months earlier, but nobody was doubting that Tennessee was legit. And then they went to Rupp Arena and undeniably got their brains beat in, and now it's like, is Tennessee even any good? Is their roster good enough? This is what happens when you don't have NBA talent. Even after last night and this past weekend, Tennessee's 24-2 with 20 double-digit wins. 12-1 in the SEC. Grant Williams is going to be the SEC Player of the Year. I don't understand where all these big questions come from based off of one game, because there are very few teams in the country who haven't gotten their brains beat in on the road at some point this season. It's just that Tennessee's time to do that came on a big, big stage not too long ago. So it's fresh in everybody's minds. But don't ever forget this. If the NCAA tournament were starting today, despite what Tennessee looked like Saturday night, the Vols would still be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. And I'd still project them to go to the first Final Four in school history. So maybe I got a blind spot for them because I had them number one in the top 25 and one for as long as I did, but there's nothing that happened Saturday night that made me think anything much differently about Tennessee and what's possible for Tennessee this season. And last night, they got right back to winning games by double digits again. Updated record, 24-2, 20 double-digit wins. Jeff Calkins up next.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.